and I was no longer a martyr. I continued long disconsolate and would receive no comfort. Something inwardly reproved me for not having embraced that opportunity of going to heaven when it rested altogether on my own choice. At my solicitation and on account of my falling so frequently sick, I was at length taken home. On my return, my mother, having a maid in whom she placed confidence, left me again to the care of servants. It is a great fault of which mothers are guilty when, under pretext of external devotions or other engagements, they suffer their daughters to be absent from them. I forbear not condemning that unjust partiality with which parents treat some of their children. It is frequently productive of divisions in families and even the ruin of some. Impartiality, by uniting children's hearts together, lays the foundation of lasting harmony and unanimity. I would I were able to convince parents and all who have the care of youth of the great attention they require, and how dangerous it is to let them be for any length of time from under their eye, or to suffer them to be without some kind of employment. This negligence is the ruin of multitudes of girls. How greatly it is to be lamented that mothers who are inclined to piety should pervert even the means of salvation to their destruction, commit the greatest irregularities while apparently pursuing that which should produce the most regular and circumspect conduct. Thus, because they experience certain gains in prayer, they would be all day long at church. Meanwhile, their children are running to destruction. We glorify God most when we prevent what may offend Him. What must be the nature of that sacrifice which is the occasion of sin? God should be served in His own way. Let the devotion of mothers be regulated so as to prevent their daughters from straying. Treat them as sisters, not as slaves. Appear pleased with their little amusements. The children will delight then in the presence of their mothers instead of avoiding it. If they find so much happiness with them, they will not dream of seeking it elsewhere. Mothers frequently deny their children any liberties. Like birds constantly confined to a cage, they no sooner find means of escape than off they go, never to return. In order to render them tame and docile when young, they should be permitted sometimes to take wing. But as their flight is weak and closely watched, it is easy to retake them when they escape. Little flight gives them the habit of naturally returning to their cage, which becomes an agreeable confinement. I believe young girls should be treated in a manner something similar to this. Mothers should indulge them in an innocent liberty, but should never lose sight of them. To guard the tender minds of children from what is wrong, much care should be taken to employ them in agreeable and useful matters. They should not be loaded with food they cannot relish. Milk suited to babies should be administered to them, not strong meat, which may so disgust them, that when they arrive at an age when it would be proper nourishment, they will not so much as taste it. Every day they should be obliged to read a little in some good book, spend some time in prayer, which must be suited rather to stir the affections than for meditation. Oh, were this method of education pursued, how speedily would many irregularities cease. These daughters becoming mothers would educate their children as they themselves had been educated. Parents should also avoid showing the smallest partiality in the treatment of their children. It begets a secret jealousy and hatred among them, which frequently augments with time and even continues until death. How often do we see some children, the idols of the house, behaving like absolute tyrants, treating their brothers and sisters as so many slaves, according to the example of father and mother. And it happens many times that the favorite proves a scourge to the parents, while the poor, despised, and hated ones become their consolation and support. My mother was very defective in the education of her children. She suffered me whole days from her presence in company with the servants, whose conversation and example were particularly hurtful to one of my disposition. My mother's heart seemed wholly centered in my brother. I was scarcely ever favored with the smallest instance of her tenderness or affection. I therefore voluntarily absented myself from her. It is true, my brother was more amiable than I, but the excess of her fondness for him made her blind even to my outward good qualities. It served only to discover my faults, which would have been trifling had proper care been taken of me. Chapter 3. My father, who loved me tenderly, and seeing how little my education was attended to, sent me to a convent of the Ursulines. I was near 7 years old. In this house were two half-sisters of mine, the one by my father, the other by my mother. My father placed me under his daughter's care, a person of the great capacity and most exalted piety, excellently qualified for the instruction of youth. This was a singular dispensation of God's providence and love toward me, and proved the first means of my salvation. She loved me tenderly, and her affection made her discover in me many amiable qualities, which the Lord had implanted in me. She endeavored to improve these good qualities, and I believe that had I continued in such careful hands, I should have acquired as many virtuous habits as I afterward contracted evil ones. This good sister employed her time in instructing me in piety and in such branches of learning as were suitable to my age and capacity. She had good talents and improved them well. She was frequent in prayer, and her faith was as great as that of most persons. She denied herself every other pleasure to be with me and to instruct me. Such was her affection for me that it made her find more pleasure with me than anywhere else. If I made her agreeable answers, though more from chance than from judgment, she thought herself well paid for all her labor. Under her care, I soon became mistress of most studies suitable for me. Many grown persons of rank could not have answered the questions. As my father often sent for me, desiring to see me at home, I found at one time the Queen of England there. I was near 8 years of age. My father told the Queen's confessor that if he wanted a little amusement, he might entertain himself with me. He tried me with several very difficult questions, to which I returned such pertinent answers that he carried me to the Queen and said, "Your Majesty must have some diversion with this child." She also tried me and was so well pleased with my lively answers and my manners that she demanded me of my father with no small opportunity. She assured me that she would take particular care of me, designing me for maid of honor to the princess. My father resisted. Doubtless it was God who caused this refusal, and thereby turned off the stroke which might have probably intercepted my salvation. Being so weak, how could I have withstood the temptations and distractions of a court? I went back to the Ursulines, where my good sister continued her affection. But as she was not the mistress of the boarders, and I was obliged sometimes to go along with them, I contracted bad habits. I became addicted to lying, peevishness, and indevotion, passing whole days without thinking on God, though he watched continually over me, as the sequel will manifest. I did not remain long under the power of such habits, because my sister's care recovered me. I loved much to hear of God and was not weary of church, loved to pray, had tenderness for the poor, and a natural dislike for persons whose doctrine was judged unsound. God has always continued to me this grace in my greatest infidelities. There was, at the end of the garden connected with this convent, a little chapel dedicated to the child Jesus. To this I betook myself for devotion, and for some time, carrying my breakfast thither every morning, I hid it all behind this image. I was so much a child that I thought I made a considerable sacrifice in depriving myself of it. Delicate in my choice of food, I wished to mortify myself, but found self-love still too prevalent to submit to such mortification. When they were cleaning out this chapel, they found behind the image what I had left there, and presently guessed that it was I. They had seen me every day going thither. I believe that God, who lets nothing pass without a recompense, soon rewarded me with interest for this little infantine devotion. I continued some time with my sister, where I retained the love and fear of God. My life was easy. I was educated agreeably with her. I improved much while I had my health, but very often I was sick and seized with maladies as sudden as they were uncommon. In the evening well, in the morning swelled and full of bluish marks, symptoms of a fever which soon followed. At 9 years I was taken with so violent a hemorrhage that they thought I was going to die. I was rendered exceedingly weak. A little before this severe attack, my other sister became jealous, wanting to have me in turn. Though she led a good life, yet she had not a talent for the education of children. At first she caressed me, but all her caresses made no impression upon my heart. My other sister did more with a look than she with either caresses or threatenings. As she saw that I loved her not so well, she changed to rigorous treatment. She would not allow me to speak to my other sister. When she knew I had spoken to her, she had me whipped or beat me herself. I could no longer hold out against severe usage, and therefore requited with apparent ingratitude all the favors of my paternal sister, going no more to see her. But this did not hinder her from giving me marks of her usual goodness in the severe malady just mentioned. She kindly construed my ingratitude to be rather owing to my fear of chastisement than to a bad heart. Indeed, I believe this was the only instance in which fear of chastisement operated so powerfully upon me. From that time I suffered more in occasioning pain to one I love than in suffering myself at their hand. Thou knowest, O my beloved, that it was not the dread of thy chastisements that sunk so deep, either into my understanding or my heart. It was the sorrow for offending me, which ever constituted the whole of my distress, which was so great. I imagine if there were neither heaven nor hell, I should always have retained the same fear of displeasing me. Thou knowest that after my faults, when in forgiving mercy, thou wert pleased to visit my soul, thy caresses were a thousandfold more insupportable than thy rod. My father, being informed of all that passed, took me home again. I was nearly 10 years of age. I stayed only a little while at home. A nun of the Order of St. Dominic, of a great family, one of my father's intimate friends, solicited him to place me in her convent. She was the prioress and promised she would take care of me and make me lodge in her room. This lady had conceived a great affection for me. She was so taken up with her community in its many troublesome events that she was not at liberty to take much care of me. I had the chicken pox, which made me keep to my bed 3 weeks, in which I had very bad care, though my father and mother thought I was under excellent care. The ladies of the house had such a dread of the smallpox as they imagined mine to be, that they would not come near me. I passed almost all the time without seeing anybody. A lay sister who only brought me my allowance of diet at the set hours immediately went off again. I providentially found a Bible, and having both a fondness for reading and a happy memory, I spent whole days in reading it from morning to night. I learned entirely the historical part. Yet I was really very unhappy in this house. The other boarders, being large girls, distressed me with grievous persecutions. I was so much neglected as to food that I became quite emaciated. Chapter 4. After about 8 months, my father took me home. My mother kept me more with her, beginning to have a higher regard for me than before. She still preferred my brother. Everyone spoke of it. Even when I was sick and there was anything I liked, he demanded it. It was taken from me and given to him, and he was in perfectly good health. One day he made me mount the top of a coach, then threw me down. By the fall, I was very much bruised. At other times he beat me, but whatever he did, however wrong, it was winked at, or the most favorable construction was put upon it. This soured my temper. I had little disposition to do good, saying, I was never the better for it. It was not then for thee alone, O God, that I did good, since I ceased to do it, when it met not with such a reception from others as I wanted. Had I known how to make a right use of this, thy crucifying conduct, I should have made a good progress. Far from turning me out of the way, it would have made me turn more wholly to thee. I looked with jealous eyes on my brother, seeing the difference between him and me. Whatever he did was considered well, but if there were blame, it fell on me. My stepsisters, by the mother, gained her goodwill by caressing him and persecuting me. True, I was bad. I relapsed into my former faults of lying and peevishness. With all these faults, I was very tender and charitable to the poor. I prayed to God assiduously, loved to hear anyone speak of him, and to read good books. I doubt not that you will be amazed at such a series of inconsistencies, but what succeeds will surprise you yet more. When you see this manner of acting gain ground with my years, as my reason ripened, it was so far from correcting this irrational conduct. Sin grew more powerful in me. O my God, thy grace seemed to be redoubled in proportion to the increase of my ingratitude. It was with me as with a city besieged. Thou didst surround my heart, and I only studied how to defend myself against thy attacks. I raised fortifications above the wretched place, adding every day to the number of my iniquities to prevent thee taking it. When there was an appearance of thy becoming victorious over this ungrateful heart, I raised a counter battery and threw up ramparts to keep off thy goodness and to hinder the course of thy grace. None other could have conquered than myself. I cannot bear to hear it said, we are not free to resist grace. I have had too long and fatal an experience of my liberty. I closed up the avenues of my heart that I might not so much as hear that secret voice of God which was calling me to himself. I have indeed from tenderest youth passed through a series of grievances, either by maladies or by persecutions. The girl to whose care my mother left me in arranging my hair used to beat me and did not make me turn it except with rage and blows. Everything seemed to punish me, but this instead of making me turn unto thee, O God, only served to afflict and embitter my mind. My father knew nothing of all this. His love to me was such that he would not have suffered it. I loved him very much, but at the same time I feared him, so that I told him nothing of it. My mother was often teasing him with complaints of me, to which he made no other reply than, there are 12 hours in the day, she'll grow wiser. This rigorous proceeding was not the worst for my soul, though it soured my temper, which was otherwise mild and easy. But what caused my greatest hurt was that I chose to be among those who caressed me in order to corrupt and spoil me. My father, seeing I was now grown tall, placed me in Lent among the Ursulines to receive my first communion at Easter, at which time I was to complete my 11th year. And here my most dear sister, under whose inspection my father placed me, redoubled her cares to cause me to make the best preparation possible for this act of devotion. I thought now of giving myself to God in good earnest. I often felt a combat between my good inclinations and my bad habits. I even did some penances. As I was almost always with my sister, and as the boarders in her class, which was the first, were very reasonable and civil, I became such also while among them. It had been cruel to educate me badly, for my very nature was strongly disposed to goodness. Easily won with mildness, I did with pleasure whatever my good sister desired. At length Easter arrived. I received the communion with much joy and devotion. In this house I stayed until Whitsuntide. But as my other sister was mistress of the second class, she demanded that in her week I should be with her in that class. Her manners, so opposite to the others, made me relax my former piety. I felt no more that new and delightful ardor which had seized my heart at my first communion. Alas, it held but a short time. My faults and failings were soon reiterated and drew me from the care and duties of religion. As I now grew very tall for my age and more to my mother's liking than before, she took care to deck and dress me, to make me see company, and to take me abroad. She took an inordinate pride in that beauty which God had formed in me to bless and praise him. However, it was